one night, one of the kids come beating on my door, and I said, you know, all the kids were supposed to have been in the bed. And we're like five stories in this condo. Mm. They said, you got to come quick. You got to come quick. And I'm not going to mention his name, but they said, yeah, they said, he's in trouble. I said, where's he at? What has he done? You just got to come. So I run into the room that he's staying in, and I'm looking around for him, and they said, no, go outside. I went out on the balcony, and he's hanging off the balcony.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Hating Outbound Podcast. We're Southern Storytellers. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Scott.
We didn't go over that part. You seemed on by now, we would have, we prepped him on everything else, but.
We told him the secret to life.
That's right.
And we didn't tell him how the introduction was going to happen.
But that makes it good. It just lets you know that we're real, we're authentic.
Right.
Today, we're in Florence, Alabama. We got a great event, Outreach Outdoors, that we're going to be doing after this podcast. We're going to tell you more about Outreach Outdoors here in a little bit. We'll let Scott talk about his organization. So we got some stories that we're going to tell up here around the river, and then
let's give them a little bit more too. We also have a different perspective from a previous story.
Don't forget about that.
Yeah.
We're going to do a little recall. We're going to drag Jeremy back to a place that he wants to forget.
Absolutely.
So we're going to give you his side of the story, and if you've been following along, you'll remember.
Yeah, when we get there, you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
And then in scripture time, we're going to see the one thing that humans can do that makes us dumber than a donkey. It's the story of Balaam in Numbers 22. Make sure you stick around for that. I think you'll be encouraged instead of discouraged by that. Scott, tell me a story.
We were hunting one day on some property, on our outreach property, and one of my guys called me and he said, man, we've got a trespasser. Mm. I said, is he there now? He said, yeah, I see him. He said, I'm looking at him in my binoculars. So me and Jeremy and a couple others, we went over there to kind of back him up, you know.
Yeah, and back up.
Yeah. And of course, me being the leader, they're like, okay, how are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. So we pull up there where his truck is, and we're looking across this field probably, what would you say, Jeremy, 500-600 yards? Something like
if
that?
Not more. Yeah.
Yeah. And sure enough, in the woods, in the wood line, there is a guy in an orange vest, an orange hat, got a gun.
Now, how did you get deemed the leader?
Because I'm over outreach out there.
Oh, I see. So since it was your organization.
That's right.
Okay. By proxy.
Every one of them's looking at me going, how are we going to do this? Yeah. So I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're good friends with the game warden up there.
Oh.
So I said, I'm going to call Brandon, and then we'll see what he says for us to do, and then we'll go from there. So I called Brandon up, and he said, man, I'm on the other side of the county. And he said, it'd take me an hour, 45 minutes, an hour to get there. And I said, okay. I said, I'm going to go approach him. He said, just be careful. So we go around. We go all the way back around the road where this field is, where we see this guy in a tree line. So we get out, and we're looking over there. And we see an orange vest, orange hat, gun. He ain't moved. Still standing there.
Yeah, he don't want to make his presence.
No. And me and Jeremy's looking at each other and the other couple of guys. And so we're going, okay, we're going to approach this, but we're going to be careful. And so we go walking across the field. Man, we're sneaking across the field. And
belly crawling at this point?
No, not belly crawling. If you've seen my belly, ain't going to be no belly crawling.
He's slipping.
So anyway, we go easing over there. And we're sneaking across this field. And this guy is standing in the tree line over there, and we're out in the wide open. I don't know why we're sneaking.
Yeah.
But anyway, we felt the need to sneak.
And keep in mind, we've got some really cheap binoculars.
Right, right.
Can't very see cheap much. Binoculars.
So we finally get over to the tree line. We walk in, and somebody has hung an orange vest and an orange hat and put a stick up, and it's a dummy.
They've made a decoy.
Made a decoy.
It was a scarecrow.
It was a scarecrow.
Well, it worked.
It worked.
You're talking about feeling dumb, though.
What were they trying to scare?
I have no idea, but
we got a laugh out of it that
we
day.
We got a...
And so did the game warden.
That's yes. What I want to know. How did the call of the game warden go?
I called him back, and I said, man, we got over there, and I kind of pitched it a little bit, and I said, we confronted this guy. Mm. He said, how did that go? So, well, he didn't say much.
No, he didn't have much to say.
And he said, well, what happened? I said, well, I'm going to take the picture and send it to you. And he said, okay. So I took the picture and sent it to him, and of course, he said, y'all are idiots. I mean, he got a big kick out of it.
Do you realize what you had the opportunity to do to that game warden, though, in that moment?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we could really, and being as close as we are to him, we could have really given him a hard time. I mean,
do you think somebody set it up for to make you think somebody was hunting there, or?
I do.
Yeah. I think somebody could sneak back in to hunt because that had been there.
Right. Mm.
That was my thoughts.
Yeah.
But you never found anybody else on the property.
No, no, wasn't nobody else there. But, you know, we, like I said, we felt like total dummies, you know, when we got over there and we seen that. And of course, we all laughed, you know, after we realized what it was. But
hey, get your heart pumping if you think somebody's out there on your place.
Without a doubt. And you know, and we've had this property for years, and we've never seen that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, never seen it. Mm. So I figured, you know, somebody had to have slipped in there and put it up. And I think, like Jeremy, I think it was probably a decoy so somebody else could slip in there and hunt, you know.
You excited Shane, and I'll let him testify to this, with one part of that story. When you found out the game warden was on the other side of the county, mm-hmm. Shane got so excited. Being a Thomas, he's like, this is the best day. I know
where
I'm
at. Anytime I know where Green Jeans is at, that's a good day. I ain't doing nothing wrong. I just like to know where he's at.
I just have an idea.
Just in case. I don't want to be slipped up on by nobody, less by Green Jeans.
You got that right. But he's a really good guy, man. He really has took the organization and he don't give us a hard time.
We went the other day. I was with a friend of mine at his dad's place, and we was doing a little turkey hunting, and we had one just hammering.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on this gentleman's property.
Which gentleman?
Not the one.
A
gentleman's property. But he was just across the line, and the guy I was with was like, let's go back over here. And I just kept looking. And he said, let's go back over here. And I said, I think we can get him across the line. He said, let's go back.
I'm a Thomas.
I ain't going to shoot him over there. But if I call him from over there, that's legit, right?
Right.
But he talked me out of it. He said, I just think if I get you too close, it might be more than
he
you
saw
have.
It in your eye.
Yeah.
Is what he did.
Yeah,
and they don't own the turkey. They just own the property.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know,
I say it's all God's country after that third gobble, though.
That's exactly right.
Sure.
What line? Just joking.
Get ready for a weekend of entertainment at the 3rd annual Locust Grass Bluegrass Festival. Join them Friday and Saturday, June 5th and 6th at the beautiful River Hill Retreat in Hayden, Alabama. Enjoy 2 days of authentic bluegrass music and down-home fun. On Saturday, enjoy arts and crafts vendors, food trucks, and you can even take advantage of river access for some kayaking, canoeing, or a little fishing. Performers include Three on a String, Mountain Highway, The Old Mixtapes, and the Allen Talbert Unit. For tickets in advance, visit riverhillsretreat.com or call 205-475-3043 for more information. Admission is just $20 and free for kids under 12.
We've got a young man involved in our organization, and I hate to talk about him because he's downstairs. But
we just don't name names.
Okay.
You can talk about him.
He wouldn't care.
No.
He wouldn't care a bit. Mm-hmm. His name is Cody. You'll meet Cody in a little while.
All right. We've name dropped.
And I'm going to tell you. I name dropped him. And Cody is he's a young man. He come up in Outreach Outdoors. He started with us when he was 11, and he is 26 now. He come up in the organization now. He's a volunteer for the organization. But man, that kid's got a big sense of humor. But anyway, so we have we had a youth hunt right after Christmas. We always do. It's a 3-day hunt, and we had a young man that had never killed a deer, and he shot a deer, and it got away from him. And I've got some tracking dog. I've got some bloodhounds. So we took one of my bloodhounds out there the next morning, and she got on it, man, and she was right on the trail. And all of a sudden, she's on the track, and all of a sudden I see, now you got to understand, and I'm not going to say, but Cody's a big old boy.
Okay.
We're talking about a big old boy. And all of a sudden I see, I catch a glimpse of something running through the pines, and it's Cody, and he's running. And so I just stop, see what he's doing, and all of a sudden I look up in front of him, and the deer stands up, and he tackles it.
Come on.
I am not lying, dude. He tackles the deer. But the funny part about it is the deer's, you know, carrying on and all this stuff. Well, Cody wrestles around there with the deer, and all of a sudden the deer kind of gets up on its haunches, and it's whooping Cody's rear end.
It's still got a lot of life in it.
Yeah. I'm talking about what the deer had been shot kind of in the back, lower, the back part of the back. And she is whooping his rear end. And Cody is hollering like a little girl.
He wants away from
him. Wants away. He's like, somebody get
y'all
this,
get off.
Somebody get this thing off me. And then we had another young man that come running in there. He said they thought he was going to save the day. You know, and he comes running in there with a gun, and Cody's like, wait, don't. Let me get to
it. We in a Mortal Kombat, whatever, hand to hand.
Hand to hand. And no joke, Cody is doing his best to whoop this deer.
Now, he ain't giving up.
No, she's pawing at him. And the whole time she's pawing at him, he's swinging fists.
Are you serious?
I'm not lying.
I don't know if I want to make it.
And finally, we were able to take care of the deer. But yeah, man, it was. We have stuff like that all the time, especially with Cody.
Cody is a professional deer wrestler.
Yes, he is.
Dad, have I ever told you about the time Miguel was going to capture the bull?
No, I don't think so.
We had an Angus bull that loved sweet feed. Mm. I mean, he'd go anywhere for a gallon of sweet feed. You could lead him around like a dog. Mm. I've got a good cousin. Just he'd give you the shirt off your back, but he has tendencies to make some poor decisions.
Mm-hmm. Risk not a problem.
Risk assessment is not his strong suit.
Okay,
let's say it that
sounds
way.
Like Cody.
Mm-hmm. It sure does.
I was out of town, but my brother was wanting the bull to be put up in a certain pasture, and Miguel said, "I'll handle it." Okay, we get after it. At that time, a friend of ours, Tyler, was there too, and Tyler wasn't real keen on putting the bull up. Like, you know, I'm not real sure about mm-hmm. the bull and all. And I told him, just get a gallon of sweet feed, and that's all you'll need. They got a gallon of sweet feed. They put it out there, and of course, here he come right to it. Chief, that's what the mm-hmm. bull's name was. Chief come right to the bucket of feed. Miguel appears with a lasso.
Come on.
Mm-mm.
Just shows up like he is, like just appears. And this
and
is,
a horse.
No horse.
Mm-mm.
Lasso only. And Tyler said he's just staring at that bull. And he gives her the roundabout lasso. Falls over the bull's head. The bull doesn't really make a motion. He's got a gallon of sweet feet.
Mm-hmm.
It changes, however, when Miguel, he sits down on it and pulls it tight. And it pulls that bull's head out of the sweet feed. And then he realizes...
Somebody wants to play.
Something is around my neck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said that bull went to 15 miles an hour instantaneously. And Stacy's behind him.
Just
going down.
Skiing.
Holding on. Y'all come help me. No. You picked this spot. Right?
You're on your own.
You picked this spot. He skied him 30, 40 yards, and he finally just had to let go. And when he let go, the bull stopped because...
No,
there's no tension anymore. Mm-hmm.
He can breathe again.
Yeah, I'm through now. Mm-hmm. So Tyler had to say, hey, let's try the sweet feet thing again. Forget the lasso. And it worked. Just like we said it would work.
You can always go back to the lasso. Let's try this one first.
Let's try mm-hmm. this first. Yeah. So
and he needed his rope back.
I'd like to get my rope back. So the bull come back over there, you take the rope off and everything's right. But yeah, you take a bull like that and think you can control him. There's no control in those animals.
Absolutely not.
A deer is bad enough, but a 2,000-pound bull.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I've got a Black Panther story.
Oh, wait a minute. All right.
We have.
I know you like these.
We've crossed over.
Here it is. We do like these.
So when I was a kid, we had a little John Deere gator, and we used to ride around. You know where Chicken City is?
Oh, yeah.
So we used to ride Chicken City because we live right down the road. Me, my brother, my sister, and our little Chihuahua dog is on this John Deere gator, and we're riding through the woods. And we can see something up ahead on the road. It looks like a bunch of rabbits. But when we get closer, we realize these rabbits have long tails. And there's five of them.
Long tail rabbits.
Well, the closer we get, all of a sudden, Mama jumps out onto the road. And she's standing in the road in front of us with her babies. And she's down like she's ready to pounce on us. And all we're thinking is if this dog starts barking, we're done. So we start beating on the hood of the gator and we're hollering and screaming. And my brother just decides he's going to turn and try to turn this thing around all in one motion. And instead of turning around, he turns and goes off into the ditch, and we're stuck.
How old were y'all?
I was not driving a car yet. My brother may have been 16. I may have been 15.
And old enough to be scared.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we were scared.
All right, you're in the ditch.
So my brother jumps off, and he just leaves us. He takes off running. And I get off in front of the gator, and I'm trying to pick up to push it up. My sister's got it in reverse, and she's trying to back up. And we finally get it up out of the ditch, and we picked my brother up about a quarter mile down the road. And we went on back to the house, and it was a while before we went back out there.
Yeah, all three of you saw it?
Yeah, all three of us.
So if we called right now,
absolutely.
Kimberly would affirm this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to ask her about
just
it.
Just know I will see her next week when she drops her boy off, and I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
I just got one question.
She will tell you the same. I promise you, she'll tell you the same story.
Word for word.
Word for word.
How many times did y'all have to rehearse it so that y'all all knew the same story?
None.
Zero times. It only took zero.
And I've seen two of them. And then I've also saw a brown mountain lion at one time while I was sitting in the tree stand.
Okay, see, this goes back to prove my point. I said it last week. There's those that have never seen one. And then you got this guy I've seen three or four of them.
You play the lottery?
Nope.
If there was a Black Panther lottery, maybe.
He'd be a winner.
I'd be a winner.
You're a winner.
I saw in the YouTube comments a guy who, of course, you know, whenever we bring these up, there's always somebody that's going to come out of the woodworks. He said that he hit one in North Carolina in the late 80s. I'm sorry. It wasn't the late 80s because he said he had his phone plugged up. It was when he had a phone. The state trooper was right behind him when he hit it, got out and was like, do not take pictures.
Come on.
Mm-mm.
In the YouTube comments. And I was like, you didn't take pictures? He said I couldn't. He said I could not go get my phone and take pictures of it.
Is that part of their training?
Gotta be.
All right, guys. Last day, last lesson. If you ever come across a Black Panther,
don't
let anybody take a picture of it.
Well, you know, they finally admitted in Tennessee that there are mountain lions now. That there are mountain lions in Tennessee.
I can vouch for Alabama.
I believe that 100%. I believe it 100%.
Oh, I do too. I mean, they finally seen a pair of probably about 20 miles across the state line up here at a park. So they have finally admitted it. But for years...
Why would you not admit it?
I have no idea.
The advantage of pretending something's not real?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. I don't know what the advantage is.
I don't
is.
Know if it's the name or if it's a panther or if it's... What do they call the... It's Jaguarian. Florida panther or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know why they say they're not here, but I know they are.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I do too.
Let's go back to your story, Jeremy. Do you know how the name Chicken City... How it got its place? Because there ain't nobody lives in
Chicken
City. Where's
Chicken City?
If you
Ricetown.
Yeah, Ricetown.
Got it. Okay.
The way I understand it, Ingram Farms. They used to have a bunch of chicken houses out there, and that's how it got the name.
Okay. The Ingram's I didn't think there was property. Anybody ever even inhabited the place.
Yeah. There, you know where Murphy's Creek is out there?
Mm-hmm.
There's an old barn out there by Murphy's Creek, and that's supposedly where they had all their chicken houses.
I got you. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Chicken houses.
There's
chicken
a lesson.
City. Yeah, learn some.
I got another Cody story.
Come on.
Cody's getting hammered.
He's here to defend himself, but not in this room.
No. we have a Connex on our property. And you know, them Connexes, you know, they've got the big doors on the end. It's pretty much 18-wheeler trailer, mm-hmm. is what they are. They got the big doors on them. Well, we went in this Connex and we put our tag board where the kids sign in to hunt and all that stuff. Well, on the end, when you open the doors, what it was, when they brought it to us, it was donated to us. When they brought it to us, it was all bathrooms. So we tore all the bathrooms out of all the toilets and the divider walls. We tore all them out. And we cleaned it up real good, painted it. But on the very end of it, we decided one day we were going, it's got a, had a wall on the end of it when you open them double doors. So we were all there for work day and we were getting ready to tear that wall out. And Cody said, we don't need nothing to tear that wall out.
No. Did you see me tackle that deer?
Yeah. He said, I can run through that.
No, really, that's where he went. I was joking.
No, 100%, that's where he went.
That's where he went. I can knock it down. I'll run through it. Now, you got to understand.
Tell me about the wall, though.
Okay.
I need to know what kind of wall this is.
This wall is not a press board wall. This wall is, I've got a video of this.
Wow.
This wall has got 3/4-inch plywood on it.
Marine plywood.
Marine plywood with wall studs on the back of it.
2x4.
Yes, sir. And another wall on the other side of that. And I told Cody, and you can see it in the video. I told Cody, I said, Cody, you don't want to do that.
This is not a wise decision.
No, this is not your brightest moment if you do this. I got this. I said, okay. And so there's 8 or 10 of us standing around. Cody backs up about 30 yards, and he takes off running. And this boy looks like a locomotive running up to that wall.
Choo-choo.
But, dude, he hits that wall belly first because his belly sticks out further than everything else does.
Mine too.
Mine too. He hits that wall belly first. It's like a boom, boom, belly and then head.
Oh.
He staggers backwards, and he goes, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I don't do this. We got a video.
We got a video.
How old was he at the time? I'm trying to make an excuse 18. For him.
Yeah.
Enough. Yeah. 18, that's right in line. Yeah.
A lot of brain forming left to do.
Oh, yeah, he's 26 now and 25, 26.
I'm sure he's grown since then.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Has he?
No.
Nuh-uh. No.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel bad for Cody. Why am I feeling bad for him?
Well, I think it's just because we know that we've been there as well and that, you know, a couple moments don't define your entire life, which is a great segue into Jeremy's story, I think.
I want to hear it. I've never heard this story. And I've known Jeremy a long time.
Do you want to tell it or you want me to tell it?
You can start it off if you want to.
You just want to co-tell this
thing?
Yeah,
I'll co-tell it with you.
When we were in high school, towards the end, 16 to 18 year old, four wheeler riding was the thing mm-hmm. that we did. We had a ton of paper mill property and stuff that mm-hmm. gates were open and we could just ride all day long. By the train tracks, there was a pond that didn't hold water in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And it just had that clay mud in the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
We had the bright idea to start our day of riding with a mud war. And what we did is got off our four-wheelers, filled our racks full of mud balls, and then we're driving one-handed, throwing mud balls at each other back and forth. It comes to a close with no injury, nobody hurt. Mm-hmm. Everybody pulls out of the mud pond, and we're going down the road. Now, this is a chert road through the middle of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Jody's on a four-wheeler that's about a 120. Jody weighed 220.
Yeah.
He's falling way behind. Well, we turn around and come back. Jeremy's on the back of Scott's
four
wheeler.
I'm on the back of Scott. That's right.
And we turn around. Well, here comes Jody around this corner. He had kept one
last shot.
One last bullet.
And it was as big as my head. It was huge.
He's not exaggerating. I'd call him out if he was.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it, and I said, no, Jody, don't do that when I passed him. And Jody's just, he's grinning.
Now, me and Scott are going probably 45, 50 mile an hour one way, and Jody's the same coming at us.
Trying to blow the motor up coming the other way.
And Scott sees Jody launch this mud ball, and I didn't see it. So Scott ducks, and when Scott ducks, boom, right in the face.
Mm.
Instantly, blood's just everywhere. My nose is
I don't know how he stayed on the four-wheeler, number one.
Yeah. So nose is just bleeding everywhere. I can't see because mud is packed into my eye sockets. I can't open my eyes. So we're headed towards the river, and we get down to the river, and Scott helps me get off into the river. I get all the mud out of my eyes to where I can see. And about that time, you hear Jody, wah! Off into the water, and his four-wheeler blew up. The motor on his four-wheeler blew up. So I get cleaned up. I think Dustin Doss pulled up on the road across
the
river.
On the other side of the river.
And we rode up there and was talking to Dustin. And, you know, when your nose bleeds, you have blood clots. Well, I went to blow a blood clot out of my nose, and my eyeball just instantly.
What? It came out this boy's head.
It was bad. So first thought, I used to race dirt track, and the first thought that went through my head was, I can't drive my race car no more.
I ain't gonna be able to drive my race car.
My eyeball's popping out my head, but I'm gonna drive my race car.
My first thought is Jeremy is now a pirate.
Yes. So meanwhile, Dustin is over there. He's the only one that's got a mirror on the side of his truck. So I run over to Dustin's truck, and I look in the mirror, and I start losing it.
Did you know instantaneously your eye came, or was it everybody else saying?
Well, it didn't physically pop out of socket. What happened was it fractured the orbital bone, or whatever that is, and there's a layer of like membrane or whatever that it separates your eye from your sinuses.
Mm.
So what it did when it fractured that bone, it ripped that layer that separates it. So when I blew the blood clot out, it literally filled my eye socket with air.
Oh, air.
So my eyes closed, but my eyeball's still in the socket, but my eye closed and I can't see anything. So I don't know
if you're blind.
If I'm blind, if I lost my eye, what happened? But it was still like it was in the socket. Everything just filled up with air. And I've so just sitting there.
She was bulging.
Oh, it was out past my nose.
I was going nuts.
Jeremy, your eye.
And he looks like a deer in the head. He's looking at us like, what are you talking about?
hey, one-eyed deer in the head.
But when he saw that mirror and he saw what we saw, boy, he went to changing.
I bet he did.
And so just sitting there breathing, like not trying to blow air into it, I could feel pressure building up and my eye would start hurting. And I could go, and just like a pop-off valve. I could open it up and air would come. That's how much pressure it had. It was bad.
That's what's wrong with you.
It was bad.
The riding day was over.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
How did you get home?
Because we didn't
have cell phones then.
So Scott's brother, Clint, his dad lived right down the road, and we took off to Scott's house, or to Clint's dad's house, and my mom picked me up from there and took me to Caraway.
How did she react?
She wasn't too happy.
She was.
No.
Yeah.
And it was just boys being boys. I mean, looking back.
Again, risk.
Yeah.
Right.
No, the next day.
Never saw it.
The next day from about my forehead right here down to here was just purple.
Yeah.
Did you have to stay overnight? No,
they released me.
They sent you home.
They x-rayed it and said there's nothing that they could do. I mean, it was just a fracture in that bone right there.
Don't blow your nose.
Don't sneeze for 6 weeks.
Don't sneeze. Dude, okay, great idea.
The first time I sneezed, I was scared to death.
I bet you.
Did you go like this?
See, normally I'll try to stop the sneeze, but no, I let it go.
Speaking of that, my wife stops her sneeze. Why do people do that?
I just don't like to blow boogers everywhere.
I don't sneeze out my nose, though.
Mm-mm.
My wife sneezes like this.
Is every that a time?
Every single
even
time.
When she's by herself?
It does not matter. You do that as well?
Yeah.
Not me.
I'm going to let it rip, Tater Chip.
I'm letting it rip.
Give me a good example. Give me an example.
You want me to fake sneeze?
Yeah. If you're a grown man, oh, no.
I mean, that's basically.
That's it.
Yeah.
I get a good.
Everybody's
going to 30 all six.
I mean, everybody around me is going to hear me sneeze.
Have y'all ever seen a slow motion video of a sneeze?
It is disgusting.
It's disgusting. I'm talking about one. It goes everywhere.
I wish y'all could hear my daughter-in-law sneeze. when she sneezes?
Yes, sir.
That's are the way. You serious?
She squeaks.
A little mouse.
Yeah.
Where is she at?
She'll be here.
Yes.
Get the pepper.
We've got to get her to sneeze. I have got to get that right.
Just go throw some pepper in her face. Yeah,
it's like, hey, I'm shining.
Do it again.
That's exactly the way she sneezes. And she does the same thing when she hiccups.
Yeah.
I mean, just a squeak. It's just a...
I ain't never in my life.
I was her student minister. And when she started coming to our youth group, the first time she sneezed, I had probably 40 or 50 kids in there. It was a Wednesday night. And she sneezed, and I stopped mid-sermon.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I said, what was that? She was over there going.
She's hiding.
I sneezed. I said, you did what? That was a sneeze? What good is it to sneeze like that?
That's what I want to know. That is one of the most enjoyable things in
absolutely.
My life.
Absolutely. It feels great to sneeze.
Jeremy's. Well, I know why Jeremy does it.
Yeah.
Jeremy had to do it to keep his eye in. That's understandable.
Yeah. My goodness gracious.
That's understandable.
Yeah, that was a scary moment.
I'll tell you
another scary moment. I almost shot a guy one time. Turkey hunting on public land.
Okay.
So we roosted a bird. I drove down after work, slept in my truck. So it's 2.5-3 hours to where we were hunting at. Got a bird roosted. We parked on the road so we could just literally walk right in on him. Next morning, we get in there, get set down. I haven't spooked any turkeys off the limb. It's a great morning. Birds start gobbling. Well, it gets on up right about the time they should get ready to fly down. And we start hearing somebody coming in off the road, crow calling. The birds are gobbling. There's no sense in blowing a crow call. Mm-hmm. And it keeps getting closer and closer. And then it drops off the hill towards where the birds are roosted. They blow them off the limb. Well, a hen decides to walk. I mean, she walked up 25 yards, perfect where I was set up for the birds to come up. Now, I'm filming my hunt, so I've got my camera. It's trained to where I'm thinking a bird's fixing to come over this hill. Hit on record, and I start hearing footsteps. Keep in mind, the hen has already came, so I'm thinking there's going to be a gobbler. Gun set, safety's off, camera's on, hitting on record. Here comes a fan up over the hill. Mm-hmm. This guy's toting a full strut decoy at chest level, looking through the fan as he's coming over the hill. I was that close to squeezing the trigger. That scared me to death.
He don't know how lucky he got.
He found out how lucky he got.
I bet.
I got upset. Yeah. I got real upset. Mm-hmm. Now,
so hold on. Finish the story. I got to have this exchange.
Immediately, safety went back on when I realized what happened.
That's good.
Yeah. Step one. Camera gets turned off immediately. And I jumped up and I was like, man, what are you doing? Like, you saw our truck up here for one and you walked in on us. But why? Why are you doing what you're... The decoys are already illegal. He had a reaping decoy. Decoys are illegal, plus it's opening day on public land. So either way, I jump up and run over to him. And I'm like, man, you don't know how lucky you are. You almost just got shot in the chest with TSS.
Ooh. That would have been a bad day.
Very bad day. That's probably the closest, or it is the closest I've ever came to...
What did he say? What was his reasoning?
He didn't have one.
He didn't think about it.
I mean,
what I want to do.
We were hunting on private land next door, and we heard the birds gobbling, so we figured we'd come try to kill one. So they came in on us, and
was he by himself?
He had a buddy with him. They have a YouTube channel. I'm not going to name names, but he has a YouTube channel.
Mm.
He about didn't have a YouTube channel. That is brutal.
That's one of the scariest moments I've ever had in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you would have been completely justified.
Absolutely. And I had it on video.
Yeah, it's a decoy. It's a fan. I mean, that's a gobbler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's scary, man.
That is scary.
I ain't never come close to shooting nobody.
I haven't hunted on that place since.
No, yeah, that would make you.
Have you ever ridden a four-wheeler in the Oda since?
I have done that.
Okay. Well, you know, bad experiences.
He's not ridden with Jody.
I haven't rode with that group since.
You can still do stuff, just not with that group. Yeah. Right. It wasn't the four-wheeler riding that counts.
Jeremy, that's scary, man.
It was. Scary. It was real scary.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
I grew up in a pastor's family.
PK.
Yep, PK. You know, it didn't take long for me to get the title of, you know, they always say PKs are the worst kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't take me long to get that title.
You earned it?
I earned it.
Okay.
Yeah, I earned it. My daddy always said that I did it on purpose because people will always come to me and say, hey, yeah, you're a preacher's kid. You're going to get in trouble all the time. And daddy said, so you just decided to do it.
I mean, yeah, they talked it up.
That's right. They talked it up. You did it. You know, and I can remember one time they had just, my daddy was pastoring a local church here, and they had just did an add-on, and they built a hall to the other building from our original church. And I was probably, I don't know, 12, 13 years old. And my little brother at the time was 10 years old. And it was summertime. We were up there. Daddy was at the office. Me and my little brother went up there with him. We were chasing each other around through there. And we rounded that corner. And I don't know if I just had brain fog or went brain dead or whatever, but I forgot they had added that wall there. And it was sheetrock. And I run clean through it. I'm talking about clean through it.
Wile E. Coyote.
Yes, sir. And
the running man in the wall.
Hey, it wasn't 2 weeks earlier they had put that wall up. And so, you know, I get up, I dust all the sheetrock off. My little brother standing back here going,
mm-hmm.
You know, and
Mama!
Yeah.
Was that the
actually,
next
Daddy.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I look at him and I go, and by the time I'm going to say, don't go tell Daddy yet, he's running to Daddy's office.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. And boy, Daddy comes around that corner, and he sees that wall. And I got a immortal beating.
There's
proverbs there in the church hallway.
And, of course, there's a lot of people in church that weren't happy about it. You know, I was the typical preacher's kid.
Man.
I busted up. The same church had a – when you went in the front door, up above the front door, it's one of them big stained glass
mm-hmm.
windows. That thing was probably 30 feet by 30 feet over the front door. Me and my little brother were out there one day, and he was standing up top on the steps. I was standing down on the ground. And I turned around, and me and him, for whatever reason, had exchanged words, got irritated at each other. Man, I turned around, and I had a baseball, and I turned around and hummed that thing at him. And of course, it went over his head and right through the stained glass window.
Man.
And it just didn't knock a hole in the window. It shattered the whole stained glass.
30 feet.
Yes.
Of broken stained glass.
I mean, it was running across that stained glass. And
you toted one for that one.
Oh, man, I toted one forevermore for that one. I mean.
Let the baseball fly. Don't worry about where it's going, baby.
That's right. And. You know,
it's a bad time to sell one.
You better believe it.
You got to follow through. I'll tell
that's
you,
right.
You got to get it down.
You know, and of course, yeah, I told her one for that one too. And, you know, and it was just one of them deals, you know. I mean, I was always the troubled child as a preacher's kid.
You the oldest one?
I'm the oldest one, yeah. Yeah, I am. And, you know, when your dad is a pastor and full-time pastor, you know, you're always being watched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say all the time, pastor's family lives in a glass house. You know, mm-hmm. And so anytime when I got my driver's license, anytime I was driving down the road, no matter whether I was speeding or not, somebody was going to tell Daddy I was mm-hmm. speeding, you know, and it was just, you know, it was always one thing after another. But
always telling on me.
Always.
If one of your brothers, somebody else.
Yeah.
You ain't got to be a pastor's kid. Just live in a small town.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's what we did. Yeah. We lived in a little town.
You right double outside. Whammy there, didn't
yeah, you? Absolutely. You know, I go to school. You get in trouble at school.
My daddy knew about it before I got home. I mean, it was just, it's one of them deals, but.
Have y'all ever seen that Chinese TV show that you were doing that? It's like a.
Squid Games?
No, it's similar, but it was probably early 2000s where they would make these weird shapes and the people would have to.
Oh,
make
yeah.
them
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it'd be on a track as it would come and they would have to do that, like yeah. the weird shape mm-hmm. to get through there. You were doing that before it was ever even cool.
Absolutely.
Because it was, I mean, it would be human shapes, but they would have to yeah. make it like a particular
and
shape.
And they had all kinds of things that the obstacles and stuff that they had to do, like jump on the ball in the lake.
Was it that, or was it just like the outline of it was scrolling by and they had to jump and like make the.
Maybe it was the outline, and they would be coming down the track and they had to make the correct
yeah.
move, whatever it is, but or they would get knocked off.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. What's the game? Game where there it's like obstacles and they have to climb across that thing and there's punching things
and they're
coming
spraying
out
and the water hose at them. I don't
yeah, and there's those. Is it the one where there's water all
oh,
under
yeah.
them? Yeah, yeah.
What is the name of it?
I've seen it, you know. And they've kind of made a comedy out of it now. It's still on TV.
Really?
Yeah, but now they've made a kind of a comedy out of it.
Okay.
And the people that are emceeing it are
making, they're comedians.
Yeah, yeah.
They're making doing like fun voiceovers
of
and stuff.
Yeah. 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 They're making fun of them. Yeah. I felt like that was my life. Yeah.
The voiceover.
Now, you said you were in ministry.
Uh-huh.
Youth ministry.
Uh-huh.
Do you, we love a good church story.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any non-incriminating, no names included youth stories that we could enjoy listening to?
Youth camps are probably the worst.
Mm.
You know, and we've had kids to, of course, sneak out and go swim, and we've had kids to. I think one of the worst ones I had was, and it wasn't bad, but it could have been very detrimental to this child's health. One night, one of the kids come beating on my door, and I said, you know, all the kids were supposed to have been in the bed, and we're like five stories in this condo.
Ooh.
And they said, you got to come quick. You got to come quick. And I'm not going to mention his name, but they said, yeah, they said, he's in trouble. I said, where's he at? What has he done? You just got to come. So I run into this, the room that he's staying in. And I'm looking around for him. And they said, no, go outside. I went out on the balcony. And he's hanging off the balcony.
Five stories up.
Yes, sir. And he can't. He panicked once he done it. He told
yeah,
him,
I panicked.
He told him he was going. He told him, he said, I can do that, pull myself back up. Mm-hmm. Well, when he got in that position, he couldn't pull himself back mm-hmm. up.
Mm.
And I had to get him to go get another one of my guys, adult men, and we literally had to grab him and pull him back up.
What a headline that would have been.
Without a doubt.
Teenager falls to tragic.
Murphy claims another life.
Without a doubt. And the thing about it is,
youth rally.
You know that y'all know this, but who's going to get the blame for it?
You.
That's exactly right. I mean, and you know, as
that's one though that you can't tote one into youth. How do you get that point across? How do you get that point? You almost.
Almost lost your life. And I mean, you know, when we got him up and got him situated and I sat down and talked to him, it wasn't a gentle talk.
No.
It can't be.
No, it wasn't
gentle. Did he feel any remorse?
Huh? No, I mean, no, not really.
No, teenage boy remorse? Absolutely. No,
that would have scared me to death.
Yeah.
Right. And no, I mean, he was doing stuff like that all the time. You know, that was his thing. And he was one of those kids. He never got into like major trouble for anything, but he was always taking chances.
Back to the risk thing.
I think that's why my dad made me repeat this on a daily basis. Before you do anything, ask yourself this one question. Is this stupid?
Right.
If the answer is yes, don't do it. If it's no, then you can proceed.
The thing about it is, most kids, they can ask themselves that question and they're going to do it anyway.
That goes back to the saying, if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough.
That's exactly right.
Impulse control.
That's exactly right.
Have you been looking for the perfect place to gather and host your next big event? Let me introduce you to River Hills Retreat right here in Hayden, Alabama. 70 scenic acres along the Locust Fork River, ideal for weddings, reunions, retreats, youth groups, and community events of all types. They also offer memberships for folks who like to walk or run the trails, as well as fish and access the river. Find them on Facebook at River Hills Retreat Venue or visit their website, riverhillsretreat.com, to see what all they offer.
While we're talking about ministry, I do want to, before we get in the Word, tell everybody about Outreach Outdoors.
Okay. I started Outreach Outdoors in 2003. And the way it really started, I grew up, both of my granddaddies were big hunters. And so I grew up turkey hunting and deer hunting. And it's something that as I grew up, I did it. I stayed involved in it. Even as a teenager, I never was a party guy. I played football, I played baseball, and I hunted and fished. And that's what I did, And so as I got older and then the Lord called me into ministry, I started taking some kids hunting. And they would go back and tell other kids, hey man, you need to try this. This is cool. And it was amazing to me, y'all, to see the kids that had never been in the outdoors. Yeah. Never hunted. I had kids that said, man, I didn't realize really what a buck could do that, or a doe, yeah, what a doe looked like, or that's a turkey. Mm-hmm. And all they thought about was a turkey in a supermarket. And the more I did that, the more I took kids, the more kids wanted to go. And I got to praying about it, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Because this is really taking off. And God really laid on my heart to start a ministry. And one of the reasons I started it was because the kids that I would take in the outdoors, you get them in church walls, and there's nothing wrong with the church. I grew up in it all my life and served in it for a long time. But you get them out of those church walls and you get them out in the outdoors, and when you're in church, and you'll understand, both of y'all understand this, when you're in church, it's like with young people, you have to peel a layer of an onion back a little bit at a time. Dude, you get them in the outdoors and it's like it just falls off. And I seen that firsthand. I had kids I was taking hunting that was just spilling their guts. I've done this. This has happened. And it was kids that I was ministering to in youth ministry, and I was trying to get them to open up and talk to me, but you got them in a setting, in a church setting, they weren't going to talk. But you get them in the outdoors, and it's just like, man, they open up. And so God laid it on my heart to start a ministry, and we started in 2003. We've been going since 2003, and we have seen, we probably average probably 400 kids come through a year now. Wow. And Outreach Outdoors is not, and this is something I always want to make clear to everybody, Outreach Outdoors is not just for a certain kid from a certain background. Outreach Outdoors is for any child, any young person. I don't care what background they're from. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they come from a godly Christian home, a wealthy home, a poor home, they're a foster child. I don't care where they come from. I'm not worried about their background. I want to get them in Outreach Outdoors, get them involved. And our main goal is to get them involved and share Jesus with them.
Yeah.
And see them come to know Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what we try to do is we've got 30 volunteers, and y'all see a lot of them tonight. But not all our volunteers hunt and guide, because they're not hunters, but most of them are. But what I'll do every year is I'll try to set a certain amount of kids up with one of those guides, And those guides will take the time to mentor those kids. And y'all know as well as I do, one of the only ways, and I stick by this, one of the only ways to reach a child or reach a young person is to love them. You got to love them. Because we see kids come in, man, and outreach outdoors that some of them come from terrible backgrounds. And you know, I give you an example real quick. I had a young man come a couple of years ago, and the Lord just laid on my heart, I was supposed to take him. It was that 3-day hunt we do after Christmas. And first day we were there, I took him. He didn't say 3 words to me the whole time when he shoot mass. I talked to him, not a word. When we got back, you know, he was getting ready to leave, and I just walked over to pat him on the shoulder. And, you know, he just jumped away from me. He's probably 11, 12 years old. I said, okay. And second day he came, we got in the shooting house. He talked to me just a little bit more. And by the afternoon, he was carrying on conversations with me. The third day he came, the morning he got there, he come to me and hugged my neck. And, you know, I said, you know, the first thing I said is, thank you, Lord. All I tried to do was love on him. And before he left that third day, he gave his heart to Christ. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, we try to just love on kids when they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful we take them out and see them kill a deer or kill a turkey or, you know, or kill a big buck. We've had that happen. But that's just the draw, you know.
Yeah.
That's just the draw. That's right. And, you know, and of course, we set Outreach up as a nonprofit, and we don't charge a nobody nothing. You know, we use these fundraisers and what we do to raise money. And that's how we pay for our property. That's how we pay for everything that we do with these kids. We average about 11 events a year. We try to do something once a month.
Wow.
And so, you know, and I just give, we've seen, and it's not bragging. I'm not bragging about it. It's just how God has used this ministry. But I think over the 22 years we've been doing it, we've seen, I think I remember the last time I counted, it was over 1,200 kids come to know Christ. And it's the glory to the Lord for it.
Amen. I'm going to link your website in the show notes of the video and the podcast. Any other way that you like people to get in touch with you if they wanted to be part of the ministry? Or
they can call me. Yeah, I don't mind. You can share my phone number too. I don't mind a bit in this world. Right. It's public. I mean, we share it with everybody.
So, okay.
Yeah.
We appreciate what you're doing for the Lord.
Thank you.
Well, let's do some scripture time real quick. I'm not going to read all of Numbers 22. I'm going to get, because it's a long chapter. I do encourage every single person, go read Numbers 22. It's a great God story, and he gets all the credit and all the glory. But basically, when you get to Numbers 22, the Israelites are going across the desert, and they get to this one place, and this king, Balak, is looking at this just horde of Israelites, and he's immediately threatened by his resources. He looks at the guy, and he's like, if we let this happen, and they had just wrecked another king, too, so he was already fearful. He said, but if we let these people go on, they're going to lick up all the resources that we have. We've got to do something about it. So he sends for Balaam, who is a renowned, regional, known prophet, diviner, seer, whatever you want to call him. And he says, go. He sends some important people and some money. He says, go get Balaam. Tell him, come over here. I need him to curse these Israelites. So they go to Balaam, and Balaam's sitting there. The Lord meets him and says, Balaam, do not go with them, and you're not going to curse my people, because these are my people and they're blessed. Balaam obeys that, at least outwardly. He sends the guys back away to King Balak. Well, King Balak, just like the world, he's got resources, and he had a mission that he wanted to accomplish. So he said, I'm going to send the most distinguished people, and I'm going to send more money over there, and you go tell him to come back over here and curse these people. Well, Balaam, this time, I guess he sees the prestige of the people. he sees the increased money, and he says, instead of doing what God said the first time, he says, why don't y'all just stay the night, and we'll see if the Lord's got anything else to say. Mm-hmm. Lord comes back to him and says, well, just go on, but you ain't going to curse the people. Mm-hmm. He don't even let the sunrise get up good, and his donkey's saddled. He's on that donkey, and he's going over there after the Lord's already told him not to do it. Three times, his donkey turns out of the way, trying to not go to where he's going to go. Well, he whips that donkey all three times.
Come on, you're going in there, buddy.
And the behind the scene, the donkey can see the angel standing in front of him with a sword drawn. Mm-hmm. That's why the donkey's not going to go. Mm-hmm. Balaam is spiritually blind. It cannot see the donkey. Mm-hmm. The Lord opens the donkey's mouth, and the donkey turns to him and said, why do you keep whipping me? I have never once disobeyed you our entire time together. And Balaam's like, well, yeah, you're right. You haven't, but you're disrespecting me right now. And then the Lord opened his eyes. And when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw the angel. He saw the sword drawn. And we see a perfect example of what every person can still do today. He immediately hid his face in reverence. Mm. He asked for forgiveness of his sins. And he said, I will turn back and I will not take another step and I'll go backwards. So that's repentance. Mm-hmm. So he was broken over his sin. He asked for forgiveness and he was willing to turn around and go back, which is we're walking away from the Lord, turn around and walk to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the angel says, no, but I want you to know that if it wasn't meant for that donkey that you just whipped three times, I'd have killed you. Mm. And he says, go on, but don't curse the people. Mm-hmm. So earlier I alluded to the fact, how can a human be dumber than a donkey? Dumb is a strong word. We don't like our kids to say it. But mm-hmm. what the definition of dumb is lacking judgment and right intelligence. Mm-hmm. So in that moment, this prophet who was blinded by the fame and all these things lacked judgment and lacked intelligence more so than the donkey that he was mm-hmm. riding on. How today can we be dumber than a donkey? Any time that we know God's will, that we know God's command, and we choose to do otherwise. Mm. Because that's exactly what Balaam had done. He knew the command of the Lord. He knew what the right thing to do was, and he chose not to mm-hmm. do it. So if you're a believer today, seek to use good judgment that the Lord gives you through your Holy Spirit. And be intelligent, God's intelligence, the truth. But if you're not a believer, I want you to go back and read that and see how Balaam responded when he realized that he was in sin. And if you respond that way today to Jesus Christ, and you fall down on your face, realize that you're a sinner, ask him for forgiveness, and then turn away from not from following yourself and start following him, you can be saved today.
Mm-hmm. Disobedience.
It's a plague.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we all fight it, man. We all fall short. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that the Lord's graceful, merciful each time that I fall short.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Anything to add?
I think you covered it, neighbor.
So will do.
Yep. Gentlemen, I appreciate your time, your fellowship, and I look forward to what we're fixing to do.
Yes, sir. We appreciate Absolutely. It too.
That's going to do it this week at the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Scotty.
They did better the last time. We'll see y'all next week.